Shabbat Shalom. That's very interesting. This parsha, Bachar, contains the 50 years of Shemitah, of the return, Yovel. And here we are. It lands in the middle of the 50 days of Omer. And there's one more aspect to this that we're going to go into today. Adonai, you are good. We praise you. Thank you for all your words and the miracles that are contained therein. Help us to see our way out of this world we're in now and see into your realm. Father, give us this as we go forth in your word. In Yahshua's name, amen. Adonai el Moshe b'char Sinai l'amor. Daber el bena Yisrael ve'amarta lechem kitavo u el haaretz asher ani noten lechem v'shavta haaretz shabbat le'yahweh. Baruch Hashem. When you come into the land, you shall give it. Hashem spoke to Moshe on Mount Har Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and you shall say to them, when you come into the land that I am giving you, rest shall the land, a Sabbath rest for Hashem. I talked to Moshe yesterday, and we were talking about this first part. Here's the Shemitah, what they call the Shemitah. It's a 7-year of rest of the land. And he said, it's still going on in Israel, and a lot of the farmers still partake in it. He says, but when you're there in the Shemitah, during that time, this 3 years worth of produce comes up out of the ground. Shabbat Shabbaton. Yovel. It's not Jubilee, it's Yovel. Yovel, we're going to read about it here in Leviticus 25, 1 through 18. It goes on after that, a little bit more in there. And it's a very great concept. Adonai says in this parsha, the land is his. Doesn't belong to anybody but Adonai. It's his. Today, the land is owned by the Israeli government. You cannot buy land in Israel. You can buy a house, but you can't buy land. And all the land belongs to the government, which is a pretty good thing so far. It's worked pretty good for them. So the borders that were allotted to the tribes are very, very important to Adonai. They might not be to man, but to Adonai, those are eternal boundaries for the tribes. It's very important. So this parsha, go ahead, Paul. Thanks for reading 25, 1 through 18.
And the Lord spoke to Moshe on Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Shabbat to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Shabbat of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you, for your male and female servants, your hired man and the stranger who dwells with you, for your livestock and the beasts that are in your land. All its produce shall be for food. And you shall count 7 Shabbats of year for yourself, 7 times 7 years. And the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And so you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a yovel to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it is the yovel. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the numbers of years after the Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor. And according to the number of years of crops, he shall sell to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price, and according to the fewer number of years, you shall diminish its price. For he sells to you according to the number of the years of the crops. Therefore you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them, and you will dwell in the land in safety.
And you will dwell in the land safely. Why? Why does he want this done? He says this land goes back to original owners every 50 years. Because of 25, Leviticus 25, 23 is why.
The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine. For you were strangers and sojourners with me.
He has a good reason for all these things. Just like he doesn't want the Levites to own any land. Because he doesn't want them having to deliver a calf when they're supposed to be in the temple. And they're not supposed to be harvesting crops when they're supposed to be in the temple. He wanted them focused on him, the Levites. So they were not to own anything. They were to be taken care of. Now we've got the 50 days of Omar. We're coming up to Shavuot. When the Torah was given on Mount Sinai. And the Ruach and the completion was given on the Temple Mount in Acts 2. Now this set of 50s, we want to keep this 50 years in mind. We've got 50 days from Pesach to Shavuot. We've got 50 years of time of buying and selling land and appropriate, what do they call it? Prorate on how much close it is to the 50 year, that show the Yovel. Now, there's something here that's very, 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 there's a circle we're going to complete here today, if you can follow me. Keep this 50 years of return. The key word is when he says, it shall be a Yovel for you, in verse 10, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Now, in Acts 2, when the Ruach was given, those guys returned to their possession. They were completed. They were given the Ruach of God, the Ruach Elohim. They knew the Torah, and they were given the Spirit because they knew what was going on. This was a completed time for them. Israelites who fell into bondage and captivity were to be released in the year Yovel. This is done worldwide since the spiritual Yovel came after 40-year generations from Yeshua. You take that time, and it comes out to about the year approximately 2000. From 70s to 2000 was the beginning of a major push in the Messianic movement. A big awakening took place, especially in the 90s. I remember we were in the 90s when that all hit really big. And that was right at the point of 40-year generations from Mashiach. And so people are coming out of the woodwork now. The trumpet has sounded. Now, as we take this and we think about this, this is also known as the acceptable year of God. This time is a special time, Yovel. Isaiah 61. 1 through 9.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord, they shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed.
This sounds like a period of Yovel to me. Now, when we look at that, let's go to verse 61:2 real quick. This right here is very important. Likro shenat radzon legahweh. The year of favor. See that? The year of favor. That's favor that God showed those people. They would be in slavery on that year 50. They went from slave to landowner, their original property. People who come into the ways of Elohim turn in from a slave to property owner. Because they're returned back to their possession. The Torah is our possession. It was given to us on Mount Sinai. It's a way to live. And we are the descendants of the rebellious ones. Our ancestors were dispersed for rebelling against God, putting other things before his Shabbat and putting other things before his Torah. He reverses these things in this 50-year cycle and brings us back, Teshuvah. We return back. Now this sentence, Likro Shenat Radzon, to proclaim the year of favor or grace. And they don't have any footnotes on here. Let's just put the mouse on that E. Right here, on that E. Put it right, stop. Wow. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, even those guys got it right. Leviticus 25:9. And what did we just read? 25:9. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Yovel to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout your land. And remember they say, when we hear that trumpet, when that last trumpet calls, I truly believe that's when he's coming back on Yom Kippur. Because that's when they blew that trumpet of Yovel. And that's when everyone was returned back to their original possession. This is very important because in the English, it says the acceptable year of the Lord. But in the Hebrew, it says favor. Favor / grace. The year of favor / grace. Because only that can be used to return one from slavery back to property owner. Let's do Isaiah 42:6-7.
I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house.
So we're going to get returned back. Luke 4:16-19.
So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord."
Now in my Bible, in the Hebrew, it's the exact same sentence in the New Testament that's in Isaiah. Likro shenat radzon leYahweh. To proclaim. Anytime you say to an Israeli, shenat radzon, they identify it immediately to Yom Kippur. They all know shenat radzon means the will of God and the grace of God and the order of God. And this is very important because it ties the whole thing together. Leviticus says, we will return. And Hosea talks about it. Hosea 14:12. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord refers always back to. And you can take in your Bibles and Luke 4:16-19. There's a space in there. I put Isaiah 61:1-2 and Leviticus 25:10. right beside verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Because this is a cycle that's closed. It comes together. Hosea 14, 1 through 2.
O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips.
This is interesting also, Paul. For we will receive we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. And let's go over here. It says you're going to return it. You can scroll this side up. Keep going. Okay, and we will offer bull. No, we will offer the fruit of our lips. We will pay and offer the fruit of our lips. That is saying we will do what we say. That's a very, they will fulfill the offer of the fruit of our lips. I don't know why they put bull up there, but well, some it is. We will fulfill the fruit of our lips. We will. This call, this Yovel call. Now, if you'll go into scriptures, if you get your concordance, and if you take two words, regather and restore, go into your concordance and look at how many times he uses those two words in restoring and regathering the house of Israel. This is what salvation's all about. When I was a new believer, unlearned, I just thought believing in Jesus brought you eternal life. It's a gift. But there was more to that. I said, this is so important. There's got to be more attached to this. There's got to be more detail, some more explanation, and there is. When you go to the Torah and you go into these parshas, you start seeing it. Because salvation, we come into salvation, we come into a progression that is going to show us why we were given this gift. So restore back to him his people with pure hearts. There will be no room for agendas. Return to me, and I'll return to you, Zechariah 1, 2 through 3.
The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts.
Today we kind of have it backwards. It's like, will you return to me? No. If you show me how you're going to return to me, I'll return to you. And that's the mindset of a lot of this culture. But he says, he takes it and he claims it. He says, you return to me. He said, J-U. Return to me, then I'll return to you. We have to make that effort first before he points his face in our direction. Nehemiah 1, 8 through 9.
Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moshe, saying, if you were unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name.
Now, as we go through these verses, these are just a few. There is so many verses about the restoration of the house of Israel. Leviticus 26, 33 to 34.
I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate, and you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Shabbats.
Keep in mind 50 years and the Yovel, the year of Yovel after 50 years. Keep this in mind as we read these verses. Deuteronomy 28, 64. Keep in mind the 50 year in Yovel.
Then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods which neither you nor your fathers have known. Wood and stone.
Sounds kind of like here today. Psalms 44:11.
You have given us up like sheep intended for food and have scattered us among the nations.
Jeremiah 31:10.
Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock.
So we got a restoration, regathering, We've got something coming up here. Lamentations 4:16.
The face of the Lord scattered them. He no longer regards them. The people do not respect the priests nor show favor to the elders.
So that generation was scattered. Ezekiel 5:10, prophesying 70 AD.
Therefore fathers shall eat their sons in your midst, and sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgments among you, and all of you who remain I will scatter to all the winds.
This is exactly what happened in 70 AD in Jerusalem. Everybody ate each other. They burnt their own corn supply. There was 1.1 million people died in 5 months right there in Jerusalem. Read about it. It's written by Josephus. He was an eyewitness. Ezekiel 6:5-8.
And I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your altars. In all your dwelling places, the city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, your idols may be broken and made to cease, your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet I will leave a remnant, so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations, when you were scattered through the countries.
Ezekiel 11:17.
Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel.
See, the scattering of the people, the dispersion, was because of the consequences. It's the consequences of rebellion. And if you think about it medically and mentally and spiritually, when one rebels against the ways of Elohim, they're scattered. Their mind is scattered. They can't put two marbles in the same sack. They can't think on one thing, cannot keep a focus. When a person denies Adonai and his ways, they will be scattered mentally today. Mentally. This happens. What won't happen physically will happen spiritually. And it's very crucial that we understand this, because Israel was dispersed for it. And that's why in the land there's so much overzealousness, fences around the Torah, right down to their elevators. They got a Shabbat elevator that stops at every floor and the door opens and closes, so you don't have to physically touch a button. They have so many fences because they're paranoid. They screwed up so many times. You know? And I thought to myself so many times I screwed up. I thought, where are your fences, Jay? Where are your fences? You know? Okay, I've stood back and have been guilty of saying, you know, kind of poking fun, well, how do you get off the elevator if you can't push a button? You know, I mean, you're going to work or not on Shabbat, you know? But then again, I look in my direction where I screwed up. So they're constantly thinking, constantly watching not to cross the Father's ways. They know how important it is, they say, because they made it back. After thousands of years, now they are allowed to speak Hebrew, which was suppressed like it was the language of the devil. But Adonai says in Zechariah, I will bring them a pure language. This scattering, this dispersion is all due to rebellion. Ezekiel 12:15-16.
Then they shall know that I am the Lord when I scatter them among the nations and disperse them throughout the countries. But I will spare a few of their men from the sword, from famine, and from pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the Gentiles wherever they go. Then they shall know that I am the Lord.
Now see, in many of these verses, he's talking about a little remnant that he's going to spare. And in Jerusalem, there were people that still were not in rebellion, and they were spared. In Revelations, we're told that we are spared. Those who are loyal to Elohim are spared from the fiery trial that's going to come upon the whole planet. So the remnant will be protected if they're true. And only Adonai and that person knows if they're true. Because we can say and do all kinds of things, but what's in here? Ezekiel 20:23.
Also I raised my hand in an oath to those in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the countries.
Ezekiel 20:34.
I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered, with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out.
Whenever you hear that, mighty arm, with an outstretched arm, and a mighty arm, he says he's going to bring them out with Yeshua. That's what he's saying. When he says, I'm going to use by my right arm, I will bring them out. He's saying, by Yeshua, I will bring them out. That's a metaphor for Yeshua. Anytime you read that in Scripture. Ezekiel 20:41.
I will accept you as a sweet aroma when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will be hallowed in you before the Gentiles.
Ezekiel 22:15.
I will scatter you among the nations, disperse you throughout the countries, and remove your filthiness completely from you.
Ezekiel 34:12.
As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day.
Joel 3:2.
I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land.
They have also divided up my land, and he does not like that. Man, when man went in there and started slicing and dicing and dividing things up, bad thing. Matthew 9:36.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd.
See how this flows right into the New Testament? Yeshua came because he knew everything the prophets ever said. And so did many of the people of the time, because the scriptures was all they had to read. Matthew 12:30. They were blessed people. That would be neat if that's all I had to read.
He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad.
He who does not gather with me, he's insinuating a gathering, a restoration of the house of Israel. He even said in Matthew 15:24, I come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. John 11:49-52.
And one of them, Caiaphas, being yes. high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Yeshua would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad.
Amen. Here it is, right here. High priest, he even knew this. They knew their scriptures because they know they're alive and they know everything God ever said he was going to do, he did. And he's going to do it. That's one thing I love about the scriptures. It proves itself. James 1:1.
James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings.
See, in Israel, they know that... They know Ephraim's coming back goofy, and they know there's a lot of dispersed Judah out there. And they know that they're coming home, and they're going to be like a wild donkey when they come back. Very important we keep this in our head, because this is what salvation is about. And it should be taught in every church. In Matthew 11:5, we have a continuation or a repeat of what is said in the prophet. Matthew 11:5.
The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them.
These categories all cover spiritual and character deficiencies. They are all physical ailments, areas where many are forced to cry out. Now when we see this, he says, I will make the blind see, will see and understand his ways. lame will be given order to correctly walk by. We'll have criticalness, gossip, and hoarding in the lepers, cleansing the lepers, arrogance, and so on, removed from character. The healing of the lepers. The deaf, they will truly hear the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Torah. And the dead raised up to eternal ordinances to live by. And that's also in Ezekiel 37, the dry bones. And the poor will receive the riches of his kingdom. Deuteronomy 28, 61 through 62. Infirmities, consequences.
Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in this book of the law, will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. You shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Deuteronomy 8, 3, concerning the dead.
So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord.
Now right there is where we receive life. The dead are raised up by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Nehemiah 9:29.
And testified against them, that you might bring them back to your Torah. Yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, and would not hear.
But if a person does, he will receive life by them. Deuteronomy 29, 25 through 30, verse 6.
Then people would say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, for they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods that they did not know and that he had not given to them. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against this land to bring on it every curse that is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger, in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live.
Psalms 107, 28.
Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses.
We have blind, lame, lepers, deaf, dead, and poor. Blind. I did not see the original intent of the Torah. Isaiah 42, 16.
I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them.
Matthew 15, 14.
Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch.
So I was blind until I was shown the original intent of the word. But when I did see, I was enabled to, with this ancient correct application of the Torah, to start walking correctly, which rendered me not lame anymore. 1 John 2:6. Something to strive for.
He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked.
Then you're no longer lame. Power to get rid of the spiritual leprosy in my life. Leviticus 26:21.
Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins.
And Numbers 14:34, get rid of the bad in my life. We always have a bad report, a bad report. We should tell people what we're for, not against.
According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection.
The bad report, the plan, was a blatant show of lack of faith. This clearing my head of this bad character, which clears my mind to hear the Ruach and others correctly. Zechariah 1:4.
Do not be like your fathers to whom the former prophets preached, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord.
And in hearing correctly, I am bones raised up. Ezekiel 37:4. What raises up the dry bones?
Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Hear the word. Daber ha'elchim. Blind, lame, lepers, deaf, dead, and poor. All these physical traits reside in one person. But they're physical ailments. One can bring one down. But these things reside in us in our spiritual walk. And when we come into the ways of the Torah, each one of them is eradicated. If we do it with our whole heart. And it's a sense of consequences for my blind stupidity with spiritual poverty. I was introduced to the riches of his kingdom, James 2:5.
Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?
The cost of entering his kingdom is to get rid of what holds one back. Anything that is more important than his ways is what will hold us back from the kingdom. We can choose. We can choose. Many have. Bahar, on the mountain, Leviticus 25:13.
In this year of Yovel, each of you shall return to his possession.
Each of you shall return to your possession. This is what salvation is about. When one comes into true salvation, they are then willing to progress on in what the ways of God entail. If I truly believe, it is such a progression that is so spiritually strong, that God's grace is so big, that we come into salvation. I came into salvation and I knew something was right about it. But it took me many, many, many years to figure out why. And I came into salvation. I realized I had to start moving with things and start doing understanding. And I got the craving to go back to the original and find out what was going on. When I finally figured it out, this is what salvation is about. When one comes into true salvation, they are then willing to progress on. Somebody, at that time, I was eager to learn, but there was no one to show me something. So as I was revealed a certain thing, I was hungry for it because I knew it was true. I remember the first time I ever heard the blessing of the bread and wine. I said, what kind of a language is this? And he said it was Hebrew, but it registered with my DNA. If something about it, and so I see a lot of heads nodding, and no, it registers with the DNA, the sound of Hebrew. And I started thinking, this is it. I'm going to be revealed stuff, but piecemeal, because I can't handle it all. If we're willing to progress in his ways without religion of man, in doing so, one is being regathered, restored, back to that which our ancestors were never to leave. I really felt the whole of it when I went into the land. After studying for so many years and teaching for so many years, then I go to the land, it hit me like a 2x4 between the eyes. Something there is so rich and so, it just felt so right. Leviticus 20:40-45.
But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I have walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled, and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, and my covenant with Yitzhak, and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember the land. The land also shall be left empty by them, and will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. They will accept their guilt because they despised my judgments and because their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them, to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But for their sake I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord.
He is blatantly saying right here that if you truly repent, he remembers his covenant that a lot of teachers are saying was done away with. He remembers it. If we confess, he remembers. John, 1 John 1:9. Right beside that, right, Leviticus 26, 40 through 45, right beside 1 John 1:9.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Which sets us up to be the bride. The cleansing part, though, is 50-50. He gives us the power. He gives us the broom, the dustpan, and the mop, and he says, now get after it. He doesn't clean it up for us. So you've got to meet with him. He says, if you return to me... I mean, returning to him involves admitting my ancestors were wrong, I was wrong, everything about me is wrong, and everything about you is right, Adonai. Now we're getting somewhere. Now he has fertile ground to bring up another person for his purpose, his glory, his kingdom. 2 Chronicles 6:32-33.
Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country, for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray in this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name.
2 Chronicles 6:36-39.
When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to a land far or near, yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done wrong, and have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried captive, and you pray toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and toward the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and supplications, and maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you.
He has a lot of prayers of promise, a lot of scriptures of promise. And I just want to encourage people, what's contained in the Torah is lived out in the rest of the scriptures. What he says will happen, happen.